Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome over to The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Rob Ensley, Joey Pyburn to my right, Matt Nelson running the board. I'm Tom Nelson, and I thought I've had kind of a, you know, different, diverse work background. How about starting off as a rock and roll photographer, somebody pulling you into a duck blind, so you start taking pictures, and eventually you end up in the shot shell ammunition business, Robbo.
I thought we were messed up.
Yeah, we're messed up.
We are messed up. And Lee is equally as messed up as we are. Lee Jost, the face of Boss Shot Shells and also one of the leading outdoor photographers in the country. How you doing, brother? What's going on, man? It's been a while since we've talked.
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
I'm in northern Minnesota hunting rough grouse. It's the opener. And it's, I don't know, that's something I've been doing for the past 50-some years. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, and those Boss Shot Shells would certainly cut through some of that undergrowth and knock a rough grouse down at distance as well. Now we've had this drought out here in the West. What's the weather been like back there? I mean, has it affected those grouse back there like it has out here in the West, where we've just kind of the whole West Coast has been in this drought kind of deal? What's going on in Minnesota, buddy?
Yeah, pretty much same thing, really dry, really bad, like mid-80s to early 90s dry, you know. Here's one thing, too, this ties into rough grouse here. You know, everybody thinks of drought as typically like spring rain or summer rains. Well, the drought is like winter, too, and without snowfall, rough grouse in northern Minnesota and across all the north, you know, north woods, when you don't have snow cover, and rough grouse need deep snow to survive winters, and we didn't have it, and drumming counts were, I think, down around 1.3 per track that they run, and like on a good year, it's as high as like 2.7, so not many drumming counts, and then that leads to no nesting success and no chicks, but it's part of the deal, you know.
Well, what are you going to do?
Part of the cycle, too.
Yeah.
You're going to go hunting. That's what you're going to do.
That's what we do. I mean, that's what we're going to do regardless of what's going on. Now, out here in the West, we're coming off 50-year highs on our bird counts out here. And we are in a drought, but I think we're going to be fine out here in terms of geese and duck numbers and all that stuff. And luckily, we got some Boss Shot Shells here that we're going to unleash on some of this waterfowl coming up here in the next couple of weeks. What's new at Boss, man? I see a pretty expanded website. I see some new ammunition on there. We just got some 3-inch number threes that are going to be complete murder on our waterfowl out here. What's new, man? I see a lot of good stuff going on at Boss Shot Shells, buddy.
Well, first of all, thanks for asking. We appreciate that. Boss is on fire, even above and beyond like the normal stoke that the ammunition and gun companies have going on right now due to social and political climate things. But Boss as a brand is doing great, thanks to you guys. What's new at Boss? That website is new. It's our fourth build in a little less than 3 years. But this is going to be the build that's going to take us to the finish line for sure. It's a robust engine, back end, great features on it. It's super fast. Now, here I'm going to say one thing. It doesn't look very good yet, and that's my job. But we had to get it up there and get it launched because it's in season now. But phase two I'm working on now, and it'll look pretty here pretty quick, too. So
I think it looks pretty
solid. Yeah, we're doing great.
I think it looks pretty solidly. But I think one of the things that make Boss Shot Shells go the way they go is the way you've put them together, okay? And just for the sake of our listeners, if you shoot a plain lead pellet, it's fine. It's going to deform coming out the barrel, but you use exclusive copper-plated pellets. Why is that? Does that make such a big difference in the patterning performance of bot shot shells?
Yep. Well, you can start with, you know, my age. I'm 61 years old, so I shot lead. I know what lead was like. And in all honesty, in all transparency with listeners, lead is always going to be the king. It's just incredibly toxic, right? So you want to get not only in the wetlands, you know, due to the ban in 91, but we want to get lead out of the environment completely. That includes the uplands. Okay, so once we patterned our proprietary bismuth pellet that we had, Brandon and I were talking, and he was asking me one night, you know, he's like, what's that shell that you loved to shoot back in the day? And I said, well, it was a Winchester double X copper plated number four. And he goes, and Brandon, being a metal plater, a generational metal plater, he goes, I think we should start plating this and take a look at it. So we did, and then we did patterns versus what we had patterned before, and noticed that our pattern density tightened up 10 to 15% across the whole line, but the real kicker was how it penetrated in gel block compared to old school lead. In our number four copper plated boss penetrated in a gel block the same as old school lead did. So we went forward with patent, and we hold the patent on plating all high density metal, and that's really at the apex, I guess, of boss is our proprietary shell.
So that's Lee, here in Washington now, most of our wildlife areas, you can't shoot lead. You have to shoot, you have to shoot something else.
Yep.
And for years, I'm out there chasing these desert roosters, and they are runners, man. And, you know, I got a German short hair, and we run those things down. But a lot of times they're jumping out there at 30 yards, and you're having to take these long shots. And when you're trying to knock those birds down with steel, it's tough. And the last couple of years shooting those boss, those number fours, I find that I can take my time still, get on that bird, and just they crumble. You fold them up. Yeah. You see their feathers. Mm-hmm. They're flying away at mock speed, and their feathers go forward. And it's a game changer, man. Total game changer. For guys who are out there chasing those birds, look, spend the money and get good shells, because you might only get two or three chances at those runners. You don't want to let them fly away.
Right. No, that's a story that we hear often in the uplands and as well as, you know, waterfalling. It's really cool to hear it in the uplands, because in a lot of areas, lead is still legal. And it's unbelievably toxic. And there's a bunch of people that will still say, wow, you got to be kidding me. There's no way that a bird is really going to pick that up and get sick. Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. They do pick it up and get sick and die. So we're going to champion that. I don't mind taking the heat for it. It's time. It's time that we do it. We've got lead out of many other things, so why not get it out of the uplands? But back to your point on killing and cost. Here's the other thing about boss that's pretty cool, is you could shoot a denser metal, denser even than lead, and that would be tungsten. And they are incredibly effective, like you've seen on turkeys, but they're not cost effective, right? Mm-hmm. So boss, being that we're direct to consumer, we get to take out retail and that big, massive middleman markup and it affords us to make the very best shell for the best cost to everyday people. And that we think is really important, and one that we're not willing to give up, because we have lots of retail stores now that are contacting us and want us to do that, and we're like, no, we're not No, we're not. We're not. We're not doing that.
You're rough grouse hunting right now, but I know this is just a primer for you for the waterfowl season coming up here. You probably got some just epic hunts coming up. What's exciting, man? What's on the calendar that's got you all fired up, buddy?
Boy, oh boy. Well, I'm going to Alberta soon. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually go help Benelli with a project, Benelli, up in Alberta. Then I'm going to go from there to South Dakota and do another project for him there. Then I'm going to go back to Alberta, and then I'm going to go hunting. Then I'm going to Alberta, then Arkansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and I'm really looking forward to hunting the Butte Sink area in Northern California with some old buddies of mine. I'm really looking forward to that. And I'd love to come out and see you guys.
Yeah, come hunt with us. Put Washington on the
definitely.
Oh yeah,
I'd love that.
There could be a little Montana trip in there. I just talked to Mike Scobie the other day, and there could be a little Montana thing going on too. But
we're going out there too. Yeah, for sure, Montana. Right. Scobie. Oh God.
Oh, I know. I know.
I can see Lee Joseph the Duck Shack right now. But go to Boss Shot Shells right now and check out the Duck Camp formal wear. Headlined by the Burly Hoodie Black Dog, dude, the Duck Camp formal wear is absolutely classic. Go hit BossShotShell.com. Lee Jost, thank you very much for your time, buddy, and I do sincerely hope we find you out here in the Pacific Northwest with that scattergun of yours soon.
Yep. Hey, send me your shell list. I'll get you guys hooked up.
All right, I'm all over it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, brother. Have a great weekend,
man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report brought to you by Half Line Brewing Company right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Half Line Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halfline.com.
The first razor clam digs of the season on the Washington coast were just approved. Digging started yesterday, and there will be opportunity to dig at all four coastal beaches through next Saturday, September 25th. With digging closed most of last season, there's an abundance of razor clams on the coast. Because of the big numbers, WDFW has upped the limit from 15 to 20 clams a day. Last time the limit was greater than 15 clams was 1974. A total of 62 digging days are tentatively scheduled from now through the end of the year. As always, check the WDFW website before you head out.
Coho fishing reopened on the Lower Columbia. The biggest Columbia River coho run since 1938 is prompting some more openers on the Big Creek down south. Fishery managers just approved the reopening of the Columbia River from Tongue Point to Warrior Rock with a daily limit of 2 hatchery coho. Columbia is now open from Buoy 10 to the deadline below Bonneville Dam for coho fishing. Be sure to check the WDFW website for current rules and regs for heading to the Columbia.
The surging coho salmon up the Columbia River has also triggered an opener on Icicle Creek near Wenatchee in a September 18th to October 15th season from Priest Rapids Dam all the way up to Wells Dam on the Columbia. Limits and tackle requirements vary. As always, be sure to visit the WDFW website to check all the rules before heading out.
Washington and Oregon just announced more open sturgeon days on the Columbia River. The Columbia will be open for sturgeon from Wana upriver to Bonneville Dam, and that includes the Cowlitz River. The additional openers are tomorrow the 19th, two Wednesdays on September 22nd and 29th, and again next Saturday the 25th. Sturgeon need to be between 44 and 50 inches to keep. The limit is one per day and a total of two for the year. And again, visit the WDFW website before you head out.
Paul Gray wins Edmonds Coho Derby. Over 900 anglers participated in last weekend's Edmonds Coho Derby, weighing in over 250 coho. Paul Gray of Bellingham won the event and $5,000 in cash with an 11.5-pound coho, and Mia Dermiaz won the youth division with a 7.5-pound coho. Derby rules required that those fish in the Edmonds event be gutted and gilled, so those coho were actually quite a bit larger than what appeared on the Derby leaderboard.
The Everett Coho Derby is the largest salmon derby on the West Coast, and it's coming up next weekend, September 25th and 26th. The derby usually attracts well over 1,000 anglers competing for $20,000 in cash and prizes, thousands more in product prizes. Tickets are available at most local shops. For more information, is available online at EverettCohoDerby.com.
Crabbers have until October 1st to get their catch record cards returned to WDFW. Cards can either be mailed to the address on the card, or a report can be submitted online at fishhunt.dfw.wa.gov. Data received from the cards is critical for determining future crabbing seasons.
Pheasant hunters, take to the field. This weekend is the Youth Pheasant Hunt on release sites throughout Western Washington. 65 and older hunters with disabilities take the field September 20th through the 24th. Then the general season starts next Saturday, September 25th.
WDFW just opened all but one of its wildlife areas on the east side of the mountains for overnight camping. The only one not opening is the Oak Creek Wildlife Area. A campfire ban is still in place, but hunters are once again permitted to use the areas for overnight camping.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
And there's no welding allowed either when you're out there on these wildlife areas.
No welding.
No open campfire fires weld or welding.
So or no. using flamethrowers.
No. None of that is allowed.
Pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Whatcom Creek opens up for Chinook. Are you heading
out
right after the show?
I went to Western, and we would cut out of class and head straight for the wall. There'd be a whole gang of guys. We'd be down there every day roping fish out of that Whatcom Creek deal. There's a big wall there right by the hatchery, and actually kings are opening there right now. You know, they're planting Chinook out of there to feed the whales,
yep.
And that run's just going to get bigger and bigger. And at some point, there'll be, and maybe even right now, there'll be a Bellingham Bay, some kind of troll fishery in there to get these kings when they're coming back in. But, yeah, I don't know. That's something. And then the Salduck and Quileute just opened for cohos. We got an extension on the Snohomish system and the Skycomish through next weekend for cohos. Icicle Creek opened on the east side for coho. The Upper Columbia from Spruce Rapids Dam all the way up to Wells is open for coho. Coho, coho, coho.
The state is filthy with salmon.
Yeah.
It's going to – this whole state is going to smell beautiful in about 5 weeks.
Yeah. It is there. Yeah, exactly. And there. So, and here's something else too. It was reported widely this week about the NOAA Chinook cap. Okay, if there's an abundance figure on the coast below a million, it's like
966,000.
Then there's there's going to be some Chinook closures on the coast. Okay, so. That, you know, okay,
to
fine.
Feed the whales. This is right. To feed the whales.
For the SRKW prey availability.
Yeah.
Correct. But most of the actions they're talking about are off the Willapa, okay, some coastal stuff. It's I don't see this action affecting us in Puget Sound. And also, given the current upswing in production, hatchery production, I don't see this becoming an issue.
No.
So I mean, there was people that were, you know, running off, oh, they're going to close on it. No, that's not accurate. Okay, we're going to see increased forecasts. And some of these closures that we've experienced this year, with the San Juans in particular, it's just I'll never get over the fact that the San Juans are open for 7 days. Area 7 open for 7 days and has been open for months for commercial fishing. So the San Juans are only open for commercial fishing right now. So, I mean, that's not right. But I think abundance is going to help us lift out of that particular issue. All right. So
or just screaming and kicking and crying.
Also, head to SeattleRifle.org starting next weekend for the next 3 weekends. Hunter side in, $15 per shooter, and they got some real expert range guys there. They're going to help you get your rig all sighted in. That's in Snohomish. Log on to SeattleRifle.org. All right, so somebody I know wants to go hunting really bad, and he has 18 days of guiding left, okay? Austin Mosier, Austin's Northwest Adventure, joining us next on the Vernita stretch, man. You're not over it. You're not done with Chinook yet. Give Austin a call. He's going to run us through that Vernita Chinook fishery next here in the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
The website is austinsnorthwestadventures.com, and I can personally attest that we've been on a few adventures with this particular guy, Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a dandy. He's got 18 days of guiding left in his 282-day guiding season. He's Austin Mosier. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Austin.
Morning, fellas. How's it going?
On the board already, I see this morning.
Say that again?
Are you on the board already this morning? I just saw a picture of a Chinook on Joey's phone. Is that you?
We got a king in the boat here. Second pass, we hit one. We got a little bit of wind we're dealing with right now and about 500 bucks. We're just getting to the bottom of our troll here. We are downstream trolling today because we have low flow. You know, this fishery is an awesome fishery in the fact that these fish are coming here and this is where they spawn. So you can target them a lot of different ways down here. And the way I target them depends on what kind of flow we have in the river. This is the last free flow of the Columbia River, which is, it's pretty neat. It's kind of special. We can back troll jet diver and eggs We can downstream troll super baits. We can back troll quick fish and maglips. So it's a really cool fishery, guys. We got one in the boat so far, and we're seeing fish caught all around us.
And what makes it difficult and interesting, too, is the flows fluctuate just wildly there, don't they, Austin? Is there a set time every day that the dam opens up and dumps water, or does it change all the time?
No, that's the problem. We're reactive. We can't be proactive. So we just have to react to whatever it does. I have an app on my phone that kind of tells me what it's going to do or what it's doing. It doesn't tell me in advance. So I can react to that, and I can also move with the flow. So if I have a bunch of flow right now and then they shut the dam off, it takes about an hour for it to get to me depending on where I'm at. And then I can just keep running downriver and staying with the flow if I want. So which is kind of a neat thing to do.
So if guys are coming over there to fish this fishery, they got to be prepared to fish a bunch of different ways. You're not just going to come over and run quick fish or spinners. Kind of have to be ready to do it all.
Well, that is a very successful way to be if you come over here. By being dynamic and having a lot of tools in your toolbox, it's going to help you catch fish. But there's guys that come over here and they just pound the king hole with super baits and downriggers, and they do good. But, you know, sometimes if you want to limit your boat, you got to change it up and go catch fish another way, because that bite will shut off sometimes when the flow changes. So it's all about reading the water and knowing where to be, kind of like the tides when we're at buoy 10.
Yeah, and you're seeing a lot of the fish that swam by us at buoy 10, particularly those upriver brights that are reaching there right now. And we saw a definite upswing in the individual size of these fish while we were down at buoy 10. Austin, what do you expect on the size front? Is a 30 pound fish a real eye opener in the Vernita stretch this year?
I would say that we're going to catch a lot of fish around that 25 to 30 pound range. And those are going to be our bigger fish. You know, every year I catch about, I don't know, 10 or 12 of them that are over 30 pounds, you know, and that most of the time they're just barely over, like they're like 30 to 35, you know, and under. I don't catch very many 40s anymore. We used to catch quite a few of those, but most of the time they're 18 to 22 pounds is pretty average.
You have any coho pushing through there? Because, I mean, we got this huge coho run coming up to Columbia River right now, and I know it's going to be open up in that neck of the woods. Do you see many of those things pushing through? Do you hook them incidentally, targeting kings?
I have in the past, you know, today's my first day, so we'll see. I heard the Met How is chocked full of them. I think it was Joey who was telling me that yesterday. So, you know, they got to be coming through.
Yeah.
And my guys today went to the dam at Rocky Reach and did the tour, and they said that the fish ladder was just chock full of fish. So there's fish moving through.
So talk a little bit about backing eggs. That's kind of one of my favorite things to do for Chinook, is just slow back down and feed them eggs. Talk a little bit about how you're doing that up there and what your setup looks like.
Yeah, so I run a jet diver, and then I'll run spinning glows and corkies to about a 6-foot leader, and I run a slider on my jet diver in case it gets hung up while we got the fish on, and that is really successful. About a 6-foot leader, big treble hook on the bottom with a big single hook on the top, and a big old chunk of eggs.
And you're running like a golf ball size of egg, or bigger, probably bigger, right?
You know, they start out bigger and they end up a lot like a golf ball after I've been fishing them for a bit.
Yeah. You know, throw any tuna, sardine? Tops. Are you throwing any other chunky stuff on there with that?
Yeah, sometimes I'll put a little bit of Joey's sand shrimp on there, or
The wind.
Oh, boy.
The wind's howling over there.
It is right now. It's raining. It's kind of nasty. So.
Yeah.
You guys are getting some rain over there too, right?
We are. It is raining right now.
Well, that's got to be nice.
I'm trying to cover it up.
So yeah, I hear you, buddy.
Well,
I hear you.
Let's let you go, buddy. You got work to do, and go get them and send some pictures here along the way. So yeah, we like following along.
Yeah, definitely.
Living
vicariously. And I would say that this fishery is going to be a good fishery this year. We're seeing pretty good numbers. Guys are having you know, a little bit of trouble here and there, you know, with this weather front that came in, but they were pounding on them here like 3-4 days ago. So I think it's going to be a very good season down here for everybody, just about like it always is. And it's a 2-fish limit, and you can keep wild fish and hatchery fish. So it's nice to be able to put them in the boat when you get them. So.
Yeah, boy, no kidding, buddy. Well, thank you so much for your time, Austin, and go get them, pal.
Thanks, Austin.
Okay, guys.
Talk to you later.
Go get them.
Take it easy, buddy. So, dude, the weather was just knocking the heck out of him, but they'd leave it to Austin to be on that fishery for 10 minutes
and have a fish
in a box.
He just left Buoy 10. Sounds like the silverfish has just been unreal down at Buoy 10.
Incredible.
Still. And did he just leave yesterday? I think he left yesterday.
No.
The day before?
I think it was, or the day before that. He had to run home, reset.
Yeah.
I talked to him last night. He's like, I ran home, had to wash all my clothes, swap out all my Buoy 10, swap out all his gear, but do the whole swap. Load the boat, and when I talked to him, he was jamming that way. So, and pulling in there on a day when the wind's howling and they got a bunch of rain on the east side, which is nice. They needed some rain over there.
So on the last day of August, on the 30th of August, 16,800 Chinook came over Bonneville, and that's in excess of the 11,000 that's the 10-year average. Then the next day, they got just shy of 19,000 Chinook in a day over Bonneville.
Just pushing.
I mean, that's
so cool.
A pile of fish. So to date, over 420,000 Chinook have come over Bonneville. That is
And the forecast was 650 or something.
Yeah, so it's tracking. Yeah. So it's tracking pretty good. It's tracking pretty good for that.
Good.
So it remains to be seen on the coho front.
Where are we at there? What was it supposed to be? Over a million.
So
and people were scared when we were down there. People were like, "Where are they at? Where are they at?" And then all of a sudden, I mean, they came full force. Is it going to be a million?
And forecast hasn't been very accurate over the years. But still, even if they're off, call it 750, 800,000, whatever. But it looks like it's going to be on track. We're kind of hearing.
And keeping in mind, those coho are slower to get over Bonneville than the Chinook. They run after them generally. So right now, there's almost 140,000 coho over Bonneville.
Yeah.
And that 10-year average is only 93,000. So, I mean, it's looking good, dude. I just go to the fact that the coho we saw down there were some tankers.
Yeah.
The ones we're seeing here are really, really big and well-fed. And some of the biggest pinks I've seen in Puget Sound in years. And so you look to the health of the oceanic pasture right now, and I'm fired up, man. We are standing on the precipice of some really good.
Are you fired up?
I am. I'm almost, dude. How can you not be fired up?
Hmm.
You're not. You're fired up.
I am fired up. But you're always fired up.
I'm fired up.
If the word somebody mentions the word salmon,
the S word. Yeah.
The S word, yeah.
And I'm not talking soy sauce.
Nelly just starts to shake.
Actually, I am kind of fired up by that soy sauce salmon recipe.
Good.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm telling you.
You got to write that down
for
me.
And it's easy.
Yeah, I'm in.
It's super simple. Just marinate it in there. We put it in a Tupperware, flip it over once in a while, shake it up, make sure it gets throughout the salmon. And then you kind of want them thin. I mean, I butterfly them. I just posted a picture on my Instagram story a couple days ago of doing that. And then get the barbecue as hot as you can get it, and you can't leave. You have to mix a drink, bring it to the barbecue, and stand there. Don't go get another drink because you'll overcook it.
Mm-hmm.
Stand there with
There's
your drink.
There's nothing
at the
worse
barbecue.
Than overcooking your salmon. It's just
or a half-lion blonde.
Seafood general.
There you go.
Pound that. Just about the time you're done with that, it'll be done. And just sear it on both sides. Take it off medium rare. It'll be the most ridiculous thing you've ever
The half-lion log show blonde is easily my favorite. So there you go. There are your four.
These guys are cool, man. They fish. They hunt. Yeah. Play football, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
saw David from David Westby from Half Line up off the coast of Craig there this summer, stroking kings and cohos and having a good time out there. So, yeah.
Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week of the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here on that door line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
Just coming back from the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man?
Hey man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really?
Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Ah,
head over to the all-new Roy Robinson RV Center at 15855 Smoky Point Boulevard, and you're going to find a great selection of Class A diesels, Class Bs, Class Cs, Super Cs, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, boats, and so much more. Roy Robinson RV, RoyRobinsonRV.com.
Shout out to all the kids out pheasant hunting here this weekend. You're like a machine gun with that stuff. Man.
I could never do that.
Oh, no.
I'd be like,
I think I'd faint, pass out right there. But, yeah, kids are out shooting pheasants this morning. Shout out to Will, who's out hunting with our buddy Chris Saniel this morning out on one of the release sites. I remember, I think I was 9 years old. I shot my first pheasant on a release site with Dad out there, and I honestly did a double take. I pulled the trigger. I had an Ithaca featherweight 20-gauge.
Eject out the bottom.
Eject out the bottom. Yep. So I pull up on this pheasant, and our bird dog didn't even get on this. This was just a flyby. And I shoot at this thing, and it falls from the sky, and I'm like, wow. I looked around like, is somebody else shoot at it too?
Yeah.
I'm that good? Oh, yeah. And Dad got it mounted. I mean, I was so excited.
That's cool.
It changed everything.
Not
for the better at all.
My first experience on a pheasant reserve, I was not old enough yet. Ryan was a year older, so he got his hunter education, and I went out with him, and he had a bolt action 410.
Oh my goodness, bolt action Mossberg shotgun.
And Ray always ran Brittany's.
We had a Brittany Spaniel too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And Buck flushed a pheasant. Mm-hmm. Ryan shot it, and real close, and the mm-hmm. pheasant dropped right there, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing in the world.
The greatest day of my life.
Yeah. Can I drop out of school now and just do this?
Little did you know, you just did.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so the thing of it is, and so today's youth hunt.
Take a kid out. Ruin their life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of first birds dropped today, too. And especially, if you got a kid and they love dogs to begin with, you just watch how excited those mm-hmm. dogs are. They wait all year to do this, and it's just when you watch them puzzle out that scent and figure it out, and up comes the rooster. I mean,
I'll pull the shotgun out of the safe and watch the dog just completely lose their
bananas.
Just freak out. So anyway, this is Youth Hunt Weekend. The seniors get to go out this week, 65 and over, and hunters with disabilities the 20th through the 24th, and then the season starts next weekend on the pheasant release site. So that's cool. We have been rambling on and on and on about this silver run. That's definitely top of mind here for really where this week silvers. Kind of everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even the South Sound Thursday, I talked to the guys down at Point Defiance Boathouse here a couple days ago. Thursday was like really good fishing off the slag pile down in front of the Puyallup River down on the south end there. It kind of waned yesterday with that weather front that came through, and that's what happens in the Sound. We get these fronts that come through, and it really kind of wreaks havoc on the bite in the Sound. But the long and short of it is there's still a lot of fish in the Sound, and if this weather stabilizes a little bit, which it's probably going to do
it's going to
get back going again just in time for the big derby next week. And the North Sound's been just hammer time for cohos, and now it's going to go off in the rivers too. I know the Snohomish is probably blown, Skagit is blown out here this weekend, but watch those rivers just take off this week. Fishing's going to be good in both of those creeks here.
It's real cool that the rivers are going to be an option for the Everett Coho Derby next week.
Yeah.
That's the biggest salmon derby on the West Coast. And they probably have almost, upwards of between 1,750 and 2,000 participants. And, dude, it's going to take a whopper to win it. We're going to see a 17, 18 pounder.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been.
5 years, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Plus,
For a fish in the upper teens, there's no question. But here's the deal, too. There's so many of them that you can kind of mess around with them a little bit. And that's what you and I did. And I'm going to try to get that going again. Is, head out to somewhere on possession, go find the birds, get on that bait that's close to them, and just throw some small jigs to them, or cut plug some herring.
Or cut plug some herring. Yeah. There's plenty of herring out there.
I got herring on the boat now.
There's plenty of herring out there, guys. I saw somebody asking if they could use an anchovy fillet behind their squid if they can't find herring. There's herring. We have herring now. I know it's a little late, but there's plenty of herring out there, and that's what we've been doing is running a strip on our squid. That's been really effective. But man, find those birds, and just like just like offshore, you find those birds, you find the bait, and those coho were right under those birds, shallow. We pulled up on them, dropped down, and I had two fish in the boat in like 10 minutes.
And you had some fat fish too. They were nice, fish. And these fish coming out of Point Defiance, South Sound, they were
chunkers.
They've been nice, 7, 8,
chunkers.
9, 10, 12 pound cohos.
Dude,
we haven't even talked about the callus yet.
We had one on the barbecue last night. Those coho, they're freaking amazing.
Oh yeah,
and they're perfect barbecue size.
Yes.
But when Joey had that one come up though, a school came up. Hey, what's Harry doing? You know,
and if we would have been prepared, we could have made something happen right there. But we were not prepared for. Just don't think you're going to drop in and have a crazy
wide open
coho
albacore coho bite.
That's
right?
When you'll get them to bite a bear hook.
There.
And people want to argue, like, we mooch all the time for cohos up in Southeast, and then they get bit, and they swing and miss, and they reel it up. And there's five of them chasing the lead and the hooks. And I'm like, just drop it. Like, I don't care. No, well, I don't have any bait. I don't care.
Just get it
down there. Like, the hooks are just shiny enough where they're just wigging
out. They're frenzy. They're wigging out,
and they will chase down. They'll bite those
hooks. So let me ask you this. Can you just keep one of them on? Do you keep one of those coho on and kind
sometimes,
of keep the school?
Okay. Sometimes. So Troy, one of my best friends up there, worked with him forever. He'll do that quite a bit. He'll keep one on, flopping around out there. I want to get those baits off as quick as I can to get more bait down.
Right.
I mean, I'm just rolling around with the gaffing them, slinging them in the boat, putting a bait on there, just get it down there. Sideways, backwards, flopping, big tail flopping, I don't care, just get it down there and get them going. When they're all schooled up like that, just get bait down as quick as you can. Yeah, in the Sound, it's a little more tricky. It's a little more tricky here. But up in Southeast, when the whole screen
and the
is
window,
solid coho.
The window is going to be shorter, but a couple caveats to getting on top of them. Number one, we were very, very fortunate on Thursday because we were not out of breath.
Yeah.
We was flat calm, right? And we did it on the tide change, so it was very little current. And so it took the boat control aspect out of it. But I'm telling you, if you've got some of those little grub curly tail pink jigs, those will work. Or the smaller Puget Pounders, for instance. Or just, whatever. Smaller jigs, even buzz bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And have those ready.
Holographic buzz bombs.
Yes.
Money. And you can cast them into those flocks of birds where all that bait's crashing.
And stay off of it, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then I haven't heard much from Point No Point or the beaches, but I guarantee they're catching
they're
off the beaches.
They're
now.
Absolutely
Push
there.
Point,
yeah.
All
so,
up through there.
So back to the cowlets, with all those coho down below, a lot of those are probably cowlets fish.
Yeah.
And this rain, the tootle's going to start puking out a little bit of stank, and those fish are going to fly in there. And that lower cowlets is probably going to turn on here in the next week.
Soon.
Yeah,
right away. I mean, and then right on through October.
Yeah.
And right up to Barrier Dam, the whole callus will have cohos. At least if the forecast plays out, which it should, 156,000 cohos forecast for the callus, it should play out like everything else has, and that thing should be full of cohos right into early November.
Mm-hmm.
You're
not going to have pinks to contend with in the callus either. Like a lot of these guys that are going to be fishing the rivers right now, there's going to be pinks that are going to be snapping everything you're throwing out. I mean, you just got to get down through the pinks to get some of those coho to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they do, I mean, instantly because the coho fights. Pinks fight hard. Don't
get
me wrong.
Well, the problem is they're going to be a lot of zombie pinks too.
Yeah, there are.
They're just a pain in the butt.
Yeah, and they'll eat those
like,
pink
what are you still doing biting? Go die.
I know.
Go spawn.
Well, and we had a question earlier, what color jigs, if I'm twitching jigs in the river, what color
chartreuse.
Jigs should I use? I really like pink and purple.
Yeah.
Purple with a pink head. Favorite of all time for silvers in the river. And you can tip a little bit of shrimp if you want, but you don't need to, you know?
Black and chartreuse, though, water.
That's a good one.
Coming up and maybe being a little dirty.
With a chartreuse head.
Yeah.
Yep. Got a caller?
No, we don't. No. From 360, should I try my luck on the Nisqually or the cowlets?
Cowlets.
Yeah. Cowlets.
Go to the cowlets.
Yep.
There's no question about it. Why do people hate Tupperware? Robbo, you're dating yourself. Tupperware? Come on. Tupperware's still a thing, right? No? Yes, no?
Is that like Thousand Island dressing?
Is that like
I ordered that at a restaurant here. Well, I think it was before COVID. And I remember the chick looking at me like, "What are you like from the 80s or something?" Like I had no idea that was like an 80s thing.
Yeah, I am from the 80s.
That's right.
That's it. Is that like green steel shank boots? Those are no longer a thing either. Okay, all right. Do you guys have a good pellet grill recipe for salmon? Yeah, we just kind of talked about it, and Joey turned me on to this, and you kind of got a different spin on it because you like crisping the skin. And eating the skin.
Yeah. Yeah. So with these pellet grills now, I can smoke it at like 143. It gets pretty low. So you can, season it up however you like, put it on the grill, shut it, let it smoke for an hour, even two if you want. You can smoke them for a while.
No foil involved yet. No foil. Right straight to the grill. So clean the grill and
clean
spray
your grill
it.
And
spray
I put a, I bought another little grill that I can set on there so I can take it off. On the grill, and then let it cool. Then it comes off real easy. Foil, crank your grill up to 450, even 500 if you can get there. Throw it on there and sear that thing off real fast and kind of crisp that skin.
I did kind of a little different deal yesterday where I took Robbo's rub with one of those fresh ones we got and left that rub on for 24 hours. Then got the grill to 150, put it flesh side down on a clean sprayed grill and let it smoke there for 2 hours. Okay, pulled it off onto a piece of foil. Now the skin is down on the foil, and then covered it back up. Got the grill to crank to 350. I stuck it back in there, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
But just the amount of smoke you can drive into those coho are just amazing. So get out and get some. Go get your ticket to the Everett Coho Derby. That's next weekend. $10,000 event. Somebody's walking away with a brand new boat. It's all going to happen. All going to happen there at Bayside Marine. And just, you know, go to EverettCohoDerby.com. Go get your derby tickets. Also, don't forget, we got an extension on the Sky and the Snohomish. You're going to be able to fish that on that derby as well. Go sight in your gun. Go log on to SeattleRifle.org. So where are you heading after this?
Today?
Yeah. You're going
to
practice?
I was going to bring my bow down to have Michael May at May's Archery put my new sight in, but it hasn't come in yet, so probably bring that down there early in the week and get that new sight put on my bow. I'm going to get out to the range this week and work on that 6.8 Western, that new Browning X-Bolt we got, and then probably sight in that 300 Wisdom of mine as well. Basically, just go to the range.
I need some 6.8 time too.
Yeah, yep.
So. Yeah, everybody can use a little range time, but I'm not quite done coho fishing yet, so I'm going to get out and go do that. Give us a follow on social media this week at Rob Ensley on Instagram, at Joey Pyburn, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, Joey Pyburn, Rob Ensley actually made two shows in a row. I'm Tom Nelson. This is The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.